Did you know that no matter how many times a person repeats a lie, it never becomes the truth? They can tell the same lie over and over until they convince themselves it's truth, but it never becomes your truth because the truth makes you free, not keeps you in bondage. Take away the dross and the silver is ready for the refining. Take away the lie by exposing the truth and the lie loses its grip. There is no truth in a lie. They are polar opposites to one another and produce no good thing. You eliminate the lie with truth, and the more truth you share, the harder it is for a lie to stand. Share the light of God's word, he says, on darkness and lies, even those in the church, and you will make many people free from the darkness of sin, says the Lord. Keep speaking the word, even when everyone is living a lie, and don't be afraid of their faces, for I will deliver you out of their hands, says the Lord. And that's the word of the Lord that the Lord gave me this morning. He says that when you speak the truth, my truth, the truth of my word will make people free. And see, we've been talking over the last couple of weeks about the Holy Spirit. He is the X factor. And one of the names that the Holy Spirit is Jesus calling him the Spirit of Truth. So the Holy Spirit will always lead you into truth. And tonight we're going to talk about the Spirit of Truth, exactly what the truth is, and give you examples of truths that will set you free from the lies, even those lies that religion and people who are religious. I'm not religious. People who are religious, who go through a bunch of ceremonies and different things, but it does not necessarily mean that they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've been talking about over the last few weeks, John chapter 14, when it talks about how in verse 17, the Spirit of Truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. Now, we found out a couple weeks ago that the Holy Spirit, once you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of your spirit. And a result of him being on the inside of your spirit, he goes with you everywhere you go. He hears everything you hear. He sees everything that you see. He hears everything that you say. And see, the thing about it is the Holy Spirit, I like to call him the GPS, the God positioning system, will always, always, always be with you. And the only way you can get the Holy Spirit to be with you everywhere you go is by acknowledging Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit, even with the disciples, the Holy Spirit, it wasn't until Jesus was resurrected from the dead that Jesus said, peace be with you. And he breathed on them and he says, receive ye the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20. Jesus also goes on to say in John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, the helper, still talking about the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Truth, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Did you hear that? He, talking about the Holy Spirit, will teach you in all things, and he will bring back to your remembrance all the things that I have said to you. So Jesus is saying the Spirit of Truth will teach you in all things according to what? According to the truth. See, and until you have a definitive definition of what truth is, you will say, some people say, you have your truth, I have my truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no your truth, my truth. There's only one truth. And we're going to find out tonight what that word truth really is. Jesus also goes on, still talking about the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 16, verse number 7. He says this. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, still talk about the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Truth, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. Now, when you look up, you think about that word convict, most people go, you know, look at the negative and they go on the defense. But when you look up that word convict in the Strong's Concordance Dictionary, you know what that word convict means? To convince, to tell a fault, to rebuke, or to reprove. So another way it says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will tell a fault to the world about what? About sin, about the fact that they're living outside of God's most perfect will for them, and that he has a greater plan and purpose for their life. He says he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, why? Because they do not believe in Jesus. Of righteousness, because he goes to his Father and you will see him no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. What is that word judge? It means a verdict has already been passed on him. And what has Satan been found out? He has been found guilty. Guilty of what? Guilty of sin. And what was the sin? He got caught up in pride. And when he got caught up in pride, he wanted to take the place of work. He said he wanted to establish his throne above the throne of God. And it was never, ever going to happen. Now, Jesus is still telling his disciples, because this is just before he gets ready to leave, I still have so many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He says, but however, the Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into what? All truth. Remember, no matter how many times a person tells a lie, even if they convince themselves, that lie never becomes the truth. And in order to expose the lie, the only thing you need to expose the lie is to shine truth on it, and it will bust it all the way open. It's kind of like, you know, if you're in the darkness, and if you want that darkness to dissipate, all you got to do is to cut on the light. And even if you're in the middle of the forest and it's pitch black all around you, if you strike a match, it will cause darkness to dissipate. And that little bitty match will stand out like a big beam, like Batman's beam in the midst of that darkness, because whenever light shines, darkness has to go. And whatever the truth is shined, whenever you shine the truth on a situation, it causes the lie to go. He says, when the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will also tell you things to come. Now, when we first started this message out, we were sharing what the Father said are things to come. What's going to happen is you're going to have such a great outpouring of the Word of God like you have never seen before. Why? Because God said in Luke chapter 1, verse 7, he says, the Spirit of Elijah will come upon you, and then you will go out. And what will you do? You will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. And he says, and the youth and young adults who have been rebellious. Now, youth and young adult doesn't necessarily mean a certain age, because you can be old and still be young in God's eyes. He says, when you see the truth of the word, it's going to turn you away from your old way of thinking and turn you into the right way of thinking, but it also prepares you to meet the Lord. And he said, there's a lot of people who, if I came back today, even people sitting in church right now, if he came back today, would not be prepared to meet the Lord. Now pause and think about that. He goes on to say this in John 10. So remember, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, will teach you in all things. He'll bring back to your remembrance all the words which Christ has said unto you. He will lead and guide you into all truth, and he will bring back, and he will also show you those things which are to come, because he will never leave you. He will never forsake you, but he will always be within you as a follower of Jesus forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now, you ask the question, you keep talking about truth. What is truth? Well, Jesus actually defines it in John. Well, before I go there, he said to make this statement. He says, this is what happens when you shine the truth of God's word on someone's life and the person makes a decision to act out on what the truth is. He says this in John chapter 8. Verse number 31, Jesus is saying this. He says this, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him. Now, what is the qualifier? You have to believe in Jesus in order to accept the truth. See, the thing about it is this. You will not follow something you don't believe. If you don't believe that working out 3 times a week for 20 minutes a day will help you to lose weight, you won't do it. If you don't believe that pushing back your plate and not eating as much food as you ordinarily would eat will not help you to lose weight, you will not do it. If you do not believe that going to work each day and honoring God on your job in a way that brings glory and honor to Him, you will not do it. And it's the same thing here. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you do not believe that He went to the cross, died for you and I, He went to hell, on the third day He was raised from the dead, He's now seated at the right hand of the Father, laid His blood down on the mercy seat. If you do not believe that God sent Jesus and that He's the only way, that He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life, that no man comes to the Father except through Him, if you do not believe it, if you will not receive it, it doesn't matter anything else I'm going to say to you, because you will not be in position to receive the benefits of what the Holy Spirit is able to do in your life if you have not met the qualification that you have made Jesus the Lord of your life. See, he says this in John. Why would you say all that? I did not say that. That's what the word says. The word says, listen, John chapter 8:31 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who what? Believed him. So what did they have to do in order for them to receive the benefits of what he is about to say? They first had to believe him. You know, it's funny. I asked God one day, why is it that even in the church, you're not seeing all the benefits and all the blessings and all the increase and all the promises that you made in your word to us? Why is it that we're not seeing more of it, the tangible part of it? And his answer was so, so simple. He says, Milton, because they won't believe it. No. I thought maybe I heard wrong. I said, Lord, did you hear what I said? I said, I'm asking you, why is it that we're not seeing more tangible manifestation of what your word says? He says, because they won't believe it. He says they will hear it, but many of them won't even receive it because they won't. They all hear it. They won't receive it. They won't believe it. They won't say it. They won't act out on it like it's so. So what happens? Kind of like with the exercise video. If you don't believe that working out 20 minutes a day, 3 times a week will cause you to lose weight, you will not do it and you will not receive the benefits of it. Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus said to those who believed on him, if you abide in my word, he says, you are my disciples indeed. And he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And Jesus goes on to say, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. See, when you know the truth, when you know what the truth of the word of God is, the reason why it will make you free is because when you know the truth, then it will change your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. So your chooser, your thinker, your feeler, you will begin to think different, you will begin to respond different, and you will begin to make different decisions. And as a result of doing those things, you will turn away from the dark and you'll begin to walk in the light. Do y'all see that part? It's not just all God. It's not all you. It's you working in conjunction with the Father. You and the Father collaborating. You and the Holy Spirit working together, because the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. You know what it didn't say? It didn't say he was going to drag you. It didn't say he was going to push you. It didn't even say he was going to force you. You know what the Holy Spirit will do? The Holy Spirit will tell you the truth about what it is you should do. But then you still have a choice whether or not you're going to do it or not. You know, it's interesting. I'm not even asking you to take my word for it. I'm asking you to read the Bible for yourself so that you will know the truth for yourself. And when you, but see, you have to make a decision first to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The second decision you have to do, you have to make a second decision to become a disciple, which means you are a student, which means you have to learn what the word says, what truth is. And once you learn what truth is, then you have to make the third decision. And the third decision means you have to do it. So you have to believe on Jesus, you have to make a decision to be a disciple, and then the third thing you have to do, you have to make a decision to do what the word says. In fact, it says, and I believe it's in James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, don't be just hearers of the word, he says, but be doers of the word. He says, because if you only hear the word, but you don't do the word, he says, you are deceiving yourself. And you know, the Father shared with me last week that one of the greatest deceptions that's going on in the body of Christ right now is people believe that hearing the word alone is what's changing their life. He says, that's not changing your life. He says, it's a great start. But guess what? If you only hear it, but you never do it, you say, well, that couldn't be true. Okay, well, let me give you an example. Remember when Jesus went to the temple and he, or better yet, remember when he went to his own hometown? It says he could not do many mighty works there. Why? Not because he didn't want to, not because he wasn't anointed to, not because it wasn't his will to do so. He says if he could only heal a couple people who had little minor headaches, even though they had the power to heal every sickness and every disease, he says the reason why he could not do the mighty works he desired to do is because the people wouldn't believe. Because the people wouldn't believe, they wouldn't receive. Because they wouldn't believe and they wouldn't receive, they wouldn't hear what he had to say. They rejected what it is he had to say. And as a result, even though it's his will for you to walk in abundance, it's his will for you to have great life, it's his will for you to have abundance life, you will never see it. Not because it's not his will, but because you have to make a decision to believe it. He goes on to say this. He says this when we was talking about this last week, how because you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the GPS, the God positioning system on the inside of you, you can know God's wills. You know, a lot of times people say, you know, say this second, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, where it says, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, even thinking about that, even when you're talking about God has purposes and plans for you, he says it has not entered in your heart. It hasn't even entered in your mind. It has not even entered in your ear. The things he has planned and prepared for those who what? Those who love him. Another way of saying that, those who walk in reverential worship and awe and honor and highly esteem him and fear him and hold tight to his word. They receive his word and they act out on it. They receive the word and they act out on it. He says, but even if he says it may not have entered your heart, he says, but the God, talking about God, has revealed them. Revealed what? The purposes, the plans, the pursuits, the great things he has prepared for those who love him. How did he reveal them? Through the Holy Spirit. How could he do that? For the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit, searches all things, yes, the things of God. For what man knows the things of God except knows the things of man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, aka the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Truth. Now, we who have received Jesus as our Lord, we who have made a decision to walk in reverential fear and awe of God, we who have made a decision to be his disciples, we who have made a decision to act out on his word. He says, and now, because no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, he says, but now we have received not the spirit of this world, but we have received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is from God. Thus, we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. There are things that God has freely given to us that will only be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, he goes on to say, these things we also speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches us, but the Holy Spirit teaches us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, or the person who's not born again, the person who has not made a decision to believe in Jesus, the person who's not made a decision to become a disciple, the person who's not made a decision to be a doer of the word, it says, this person who's not in relationship with God, when you talk to him about the things of God, to him, he says he don't receive those things because to him, it sounds foolish. To him, it sounds crazy. To him or her, it's like, you know, blah, 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 blah. You might as well be like babbling. He says it makes absolutely no sense to them at all. He says he cannot see them. He cannot understand them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. He says, but for those who are spiritual, judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But check this out. Because you have the Holy Spirit, because you have the Spirit of truth on the inside of you, because you have the GPS system, the God positioning system on the inside of you as a follower of Jesus, it says this, we have the mind of Christ. What? As a born-again believer? As one who's a follower of Jesus, we have what? We have the mind of Christ. We have the very nature, the very one who possesses the mind of Christ on the inside of us. And he's ready and willing to freely show you, freely reveal, freely demonstrate, freely lead and guide you into all truth, freely show you all things to come, freely teach you in all things. Who helps us to operate according with the mind of Christ? The Holy Spirit, who's on the inside of you, but you have to yield to him. You have to yield to him. He won't force you to do anything. Now, when you hear all those things about what the Holy Spirit will do and how he revealed all these things to you, and when you have made a decision to be a follower of Jesus, you made a decision to be a disciple, you made a decision to be doers of the word. Then when you go back and you read John chapter 8, verse 31, again in the Amplified, it says this. So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly my students, my disciples, my followers, and you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. Now, what is the truth? What is the truth? Well, Jesus says this when he's praying to the Father in John 17, 17. He says, sanctify or set them apart by your truth. Father, your word is truth. So if you want to know what is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of God's work that does what? It leads and guides you according to the Word of God. It teaches you in all things according to the Word of God. It reveals all things to you according to all the words which God has said out of his mouth. What did Jesus say? Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Why is it so important? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says it this way. It says, for this reason, we also we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you have heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectually works in you who believe. So what do you have to do? You have to hear the word. You have to welcome the word or receive the word, not as if you're hearing it from men, but as if it's the truth the word of God, or the word you have received from God. And that word, when you receive it as the truth, it effectually works in you who do what? You have to believe it. You have to believe it. And I'm going to give you two things that God said are truth that many people, even those in the body of Christ, have let slip. Jesus, still in chapter John 17, verse 1, says this, and Jesus spoke these words. He spoke these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son may also glorify you. Now, Jesus never said, Father, glorify me so I can look like I'm all that in a bag of chips. He said nothing like that at all. He says, Father, glorify me in order for that I may glorify you. See, when you realize that all that you say and all that you do, whether in secret or in open, whether on the job or in the marketplace or wherever you go, whatever you say and do, you are to do it so that you glorify or bring honor or exaltation or thanksgiving to your heavenly Father. Jesus says this. He says, as you have given me authority over all flesh, he says that you should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Jesus says, Father, not only do I want you to glorify me that I may glorify you, he said, you have given me authority over all flesh. And he says, and that you should give eternal life to as many as you have given me. Now, this is the part. This is the part I want you to get a hold of. This is what Jesus says, and this is eternal life. So if you want to know what eternal life is not when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. No, Jesus says, this is eternal life. If you want to know a definition of what eternal life is, this is eternal life, that they may know the Father, the only true God. He says, if you want to know what eternal life is that when you know the Father, who is the only true and living God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. Why did he say you need to know the eternal life is to know the Father and Jesus Christ? Because Jesus said in John chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father apart from the Son. See, you can't accept Jesus and reject God, or you can't reject God and receive Jesus, because if you reject Jesus, then you've also rejected the one who sent Jesus, who is the Father. Jesus goes on to say, he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus says this, Father, I have glorified you on the earth. How did Jesus glorify the Father on the earth? I have finished the work you have given me to do. Jesus says, the way that I glorify the Father, the way that you glorify the Father, is to finish the work he has given you to do. You say, well, that's only one place that talks about what eternal life is and why we are to, and the fact that Jesus was always looking to glorify the Father. Well, if you go with me over to Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23, and this is where we're about to wrap up. It says this, verse 23, he says this, thus says the Lord. Says who? Thus says the Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this. What is God telling you? He says, forget all that other stuff, but to glory in this, that he understands and knows me. The Father says, the one thing you need to glory is the glorious, glorify the fact that you understand and you know him. He says that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So the Lord is saying, you glory in the fact that you not only understand me, but that you know me, because I am the Lord. I am supreme in authority. I'm supreme in character. I'm first place. I'm the true and living God, and I exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. It's interesting when the disciples came back, you know, from going out and casting out demons and healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and raising the dead. And they was talking to Jesus about it. And Jesus said to this, he says, behold, I've given you in Luke chapter 10:19, I've given you the power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. And many people will rejoice in that. And they'd really be glad about that. And they'd really be excited about that. But guess what Jesus said? He says what the most important thing was. He says, but nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Rejoice in what? That demons are subject to you, that the spirits are subject to you. He says, but rather rejoice in the fact because your names are written in heaven in the book of life. What we determine is glorious is not the same definition of what God determines as glorious. What we determine is areas we should glorify are not the same areas that God says we should glorify. And what many people are calling truth is not what the definition of truth is according to the word of God. And because you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, living on the inside of you, you have access to all the truth because the Holy Spirit knows all things. And he's prepared to lead and guide you into all the truth. He's prepared to lead and guide you and teach you in all things, to bring back to your remembrance all the words in which Christ has said, and to show you things which are to come. But he will not force his way on you. You have to make a decision to yield. And in order for you to yield to do it, the first thing you got to do is make a decision to do is to believe that the word you just heard is not the words of men, but the word of God, which is the truth. And that word will effectively work in your life the more you make a decision to believe it, to hear it, and to do it. Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to act out on that word. If you never received Jesus before, remember the qualifier to receive all this, you first have to believe in Jesus. And in order for you to do that, in order for you to be a partaker of all these things we talked about today, the first decision you got to make is you have to make a decision that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you believe that he died for you, rose again on the third day, laid his blood on the mercy seat just for you, and that he's seated at the right hand of the Father still right now, ever making intercession for you. So, well, how do I do that? Well, in accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says this. It says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That word saved means healed, set free, delivered, and made whole. It says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, you can't just believe it. You all have to believe it and say it in the name of Jesus. And that's how things operate according to the kingdom. So if you've never received Jesus before as your personal Lord and Savior, or you've actually received him before, but you know you haven't been living right, and you want to make a decision to make this your day one, or you want to say, you know what? I thought I knew, but now that you shared this word about the Spirit of truth and how he operates in my life and how I can know the truth in all things, man, I'm ready to make this. I want to start all over again. You're going to hit the reset button. Well, let's go ahead and do that right now. Say this prayer after me. Say it out of your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me on the cross and carried all of my sins for me. I believe you were put in a grave, but now you're risen. You're alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Thank you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for being risen again for me. Thank you for laying your blood on the mercy seat. And thank you that right now, I'm in right standing with God. In Jesus' name, Amen and glory to God. Well, you know, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, we want to welcome you to the kingdom of God, welcome you to the body of Christ, welcome you into a right relationship. What do you got to do now, man? You got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we're here every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I know that this word will be a blessing to you. Share it with you. If this word bless you, share it with a friend, share it with a neighbor, subscribe and share it. And man, you want to join us next week when we're going to continue to talk about the benefits of having the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You don't want to miss it. Until then, God bless you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.